gospel comes this morning from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So Philip got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So we're continuing on this morning in the book of Acts. And last week we heard the story of the killing of Stephen, and then after that Philip goes into Samaria and starts proclaiming the gospel to the Samaritans, and Peter and John join him there, and the three of them continue to do the work and ministry of Jesus in the land of the Samaritans. And that's what's going on when we get to today's reading. And then God once again turns everything on its head, as God is prone to do, right? So in today's story, a messenger is sent, an angel, from God to Philip. And Philip is sent south toward Gaza. So the Holy Spirit blows into Philip's life and turns everything upside down, says, "Stop what you're doing, drop everything, and head south toward Gaza." And so Philip goes. And we're told that it's a wilderness road, which is a very important little parenthetical detail, because wilderness was extremely symbolic in Scripture. It meant chaos and it meant danger. But more importantly, the wilderness is where people had intense experiences with God. And so it's on this wilderness road that Philip encounters a very complicated stranger. Philip comes upon this fancy schmancy caravan, this royal servant's chariot, and a high-ranking royal servant at that, someone who was in charge of the entire treasury. And so we know that this person has a certain amount of power, right, even prestige. But we're also told that he is a eunuch, and that carries a lot of weight. It would have been the practice at the time for young men or boys to be castrated for the purpose of being a royal servant. It was basically to make them non-threatening. They were not a threat to the royal line, no questionable parentage, and also it made them disqualified for holding the throne or seats of power themselves. So they were taken out of the equation. They were non-threatening. And also, in castrating them, they were made in some ways socially outcast. They would not fit into society because of the social norms. They would be forever outside gender and social norms of the time. So this man is a slave who doesn't even have autonomy over his own body and who has been forever marked as other, socially marginalized by his non-conforming gender identity. In addition, we're told that this man is just returning home from Jerusalem, where he had gone on pilgrimage. He had gone there to worship, and now he was on his way home, and he was reading scripture. So he traveled all the way to Jerusalem as a pilgrim to worship God. But again, now we know this detail that he was a eunuch, so we know that he would not have been allowed to fully participate. He would have been kept out, barred at the doors. And yet, even having just had that experience, as he journeys home, he continues to read scripture. So see what I mean about being a complicated person? This man is a slave, but one of relative power and prestige. He is a dedicated believer and student of scripture, but one who the community, the religious institution, has denied access. It is this complicated person that God sends Philip to meet on his wilderness road. This is his intense encounter. So the Holy Spirit has Philip just jog on up to the chariot, just jogs on up and says, "Hey, I hear you're reading scripture. You know what that's about?" It was the practice of the time to read out loud. People hadn't started reading silently yet, so he could hear what he was reading. And he just jumps right into the chariot and into conversation with this Ethiopian eunuch. And it's there in that conversation, in the asking of questions and listening to answers back and forth between the two, that both men's lives are completely changed. Philip encounters a believer, someone who is eagerly seeking to know God, in this person that the religious community has excluded and that scripture had labeled as damaged and not to be included. Philip is led by the Holy Spirit to meet this man and then to participate in God's inclusion of him in a new way. Because the Ethiopian, upon hearing the gospel, having it proclaimed and explained to him by Philip, is moved to be baptized right then and there. He sees some water on the side of the road and he says, "Stop the chariot, pull over. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" And the answer Philip has is nothing. So they get down and they get down into the water right then and there. And in baptism, the Ethiopian eunuch is given a new identity, an identity of equality as a child of God. Now, this new identity as a child of God, it doesn't erase all of his other complex identities as an Ethiopian, a royal servant, a eunuch. Instead, it encapsulates them. All of them. It surrounds them with the truth that everything that he is loved. His ethnicity, his gender identity, his occupation, his sexuality, everything that he is loved as a beloved child of God. And his baptism on the side of the road is not what makes that true. Because baptism is just a sign. It's just a visible sign of God's invisible grace. God's love and grace already surrounded the eunuch, just like it already surrounds Olivia. But in a few minutes, we will all get to see this grace and love, this love as Olivia is washed in the water. In her baptism, God's love and grace will be made visible to us and tangible. We will get to see that truth of God's love that already surrounds her and will continue to surround her in all that she does and all that she is for all of her life. And that's exactly what happened that day on the side of that road for the Ethiopian eunuch and for Philip. Through baptism, they both experienced God's love and grace more fully. They each experienced that all-inclusive love, the love that had always been there, but that had not always been extended by the faith community. The eunuch was able to see and feel and hear, possibly for the first time, God's love for him. In his baptism, he was able to experience his identity as a child of God. And Philip, by getting into the chariot and by having a conversation and then getting out of the chariot and getting down into the water with this complicated stranger, Philip was able to participate in God's grace in a new way. As the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see God's love and grace that already surrounded this person, despite the fact that the community had excluded him. This is such a beautiful story about God's radical inclusivity, about how God actively works to break down the walls that we build up, and about how each and every one of us is given an identity of equality. And I also love this story because it's about baptism. I love the sacraments. Baptism and Holy Communion are these beautiful gifts that God gives us because we need them. There's something that we can hold on to, that we can touch and taste, that we can see and feel, that reminds us of God's love. And you know what? This story reminds me that there's something sacramental in our relationships with one another as well. Because just as God gives us the water and the bread and the wine as something to taste and see, something to touch and feel, something to hold on to, God also gives us one another. In loving and caring for one another, in listening and sharing with one another, we have the opportunity to experience God's love and grace, to see and feel the truth of God, the truth of God's love that surrounds each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.